Hello and welcome to Back Chat, your podcast all about scoliosis, yoga and back care. My name is Christine Jaregi-Berry. I'm a yoga teacher, creator of the Yoga Berry Yoga for Scoliosis community and YouTube channel, and this show is all about supporting you on your scoliosis journey. So if you're looking for practical advice and inspiration on how to manage the condition with yoga and movement, then you're in the right place. Hello, everyone, and welcome. If you're watching this on the replay, this is Back Chat Live, and the channel is called Move with Scoliosis. Lots of you have been following me for a while and have been with me every single week and enjoying these Back Chats here, obviously, as well. So welcome. Thank you so much for all your support. I can see lots of you already tuning in. So feel free to use the chat box if you're not driving or doing anything else, obviously. And I've got a guest today who I will bring on in a moment. But feel free to, we will obviously be doing our interview, we'll be talking about pelvic health today. But feel free to use the chat box if you've got any questions that you want me to ask as well. So just before we get started, just a little side note, some of you might have seen it already. I'm doing a little summer sale at the moment of my course, 21 Days Love Your Spine. And that's a brilliant little introduction to yoga for scoliosis. If you are a complete beginner, this is great. If you are short of time, this is great. So if you do a lot of traveling, if you just have a few minutes every day, this one is perfect because you literally get on your mat, do a very, very short practice, and that's it. And you can access all the videos whenever you want. You can go back to day three if you liked it. You can do day three, four, and five together if you have a little bit more time. So it's a brilliant little course that I'm offering at the moment for £29 only. So you can see that in the description below. So just wanted to mention this because that's just for the next 4 days. Good, lovely. So feel free to let me know where you are in the world if you are joining me here on the chat. So today we're going to be talking about pelvic health, as I said, and I'm going to bring on the lovely Tara Nicole, and she is an osteopath, she is a yoga therapist, she's got many other qualifications as well, which she can tell us a little bit more about. But welcome, first of all.
Thank you for having me. I'm always excited to talk about scoliosis and the effects on the pelvic floor, and educating people is what I do best. So thank you so much for having me on here today.
Yeah, brilliant. Thank you. And I've talked to my community about this already. It was a topic that was requested over and over again, but it's very, very difficult to find people who are knowledgeable in both areas, right? We've got a lot of people who are knowledgeable in scoliosis. We've got a lot of people who are knowledgeable, many more people who are knowledgeable in the pelvic health area, but it's bringing these two topics together, which is a little bit more specialist. So I would love to know, Tara, how did you get into this very specialized field?
Yeah, I think it started originally with starting to see a lot of teenage girls with scoliotic curves with pelvic floor dysfunction. And so then just on a quest to find more knowledge, understand it more, I did more pelvic floor training, and then ended up starting to mentor and train under people that were dealing primarily with scoliosis. And then in understanding as an osteopath, just the connections and the links, I started practicing and telling my patients that we were going to try something new. Right. And we were going to see if by appealing to the curves, we could stop the progression. And if by looking at it as a whole body line of compensation, if we could get better results. And we started getting great results. So then that started piquing the interests of doctors that deal with scoliosis in my area. And they started referring me patients. And together, we've come up with a better understanding of the pelvic floor dysfunction within the scoliotic patient, and then giving them tools to help themselves. Because there's no sense in just making it a quick fix. As we know, if you're involved in any kind of fitness or body work, there's no such thing as a quick fix. But it's the slow progression of the things that we change every day that are going to make the greatest results.
Brilliant. So what would you say? Because some people might be a little bit confused, or they might be like, oh, I thought scoliosis was about the spine. What is, just in your words, from your perspective, what is the connection here? Why is it so important that we learn about the pelvic floor with scoliosis?
Yeah, so I always explain to people, they need to think about their bodies as in the bones are the hangers, the muscles are the clothes, and then in between the clothes is all the nerves, veins, arteries, and lymphatics. Mm-hmm. If there's a twist or deviation in the hangers, then the clothes will have a twist. And if the clothes have the twist, the availability for the body to move fluid in or out of areas, to send a message in or out of areas, is going to be compromised. And by having that compromise, we talk about in any kind of manual therapy about stagnation. So if the body can't move fluid in and out, then we end up with disease or disease mm-hmm. processes or the symptomology of disease. And so if we can think about the big picture and how the frame changes the tensegrity, or how everything fits together and drapes off of the bones, then we better understand how, by changing that tension, we allow the body to heal itself and to move fluid through properly. And then there is the progression. I mean, all of us are fighting gravity. Nobody's going to win. Gravity is constantly bearing down on us. So if the structure has lost its integrity, and then as we age, we dry out, that's part of aging. So then we have the compressive forces of aging, then it will drive those curves in deeper. But if we have created space and the body's ability to be a better spring, then we give it what it needs to fight off the compression forces that are on us every day. I think that's kind of like how I try to generally explain it in layman's terms to my patients.
Okay, so I'm hearing a little bit that this might not just be about strengthening your pelvic floor.
Not at all. So in our scoliotic patients, what I find, and this is why pelvic floor therapy is so important for everyone, not just our patients with scoliosis, but what I find quite honestly is that because there is a deviation in the spine, so a bit of that C curve, we can't be left with just the C curve. So the lumbar spine will rotate. The pelvic floor attaches all the way up to L1, L2, and it actually crosses over the crux of the diaphragm. Mm-hmm. So where our respiratory diaphragm comes down and attaches onto the spine, the pelvic floor actually comes up and integrates into that same fascial binding. So if we have a rotation in our lumbars, and most people would just see it as one hip higher than the other, one leg slightly forward. If we have that rotation, then we also have that rotation in the pelvic floor.
Yes. Yeah. Makes sense.
So the pelvic floor fascially comes down from L1, L2 and scoops around all the way to the front of our pubic bone. That's the first kind of sling. And then the second sling is ischial tuberosity to ischial tuberosity. But in between those are our openings, our sphincters. Mm-hmm. So what ends up happening in a scoliotic pelvic floor is that because one hip is slightly higher, usually the left side, then we can think about the left side of the pelvic floor as being tight on stretch.
Right.
The right hip usually is forward, and these are just primarily what we see. The right hip being forward, now our right side pelvic floor is short and tight. So we need to think about the pelvic floor as though it's in four parts, just like every other part of our body. We say the abdomen to the rib cage, four parts, the back, four parts, the pelvic bowl, four parts. So if it's short and tight at the right side front, it will be short and tight on the left side front. That torsion that's happening throughout the spine, that's draping down through the pelvic bowl, is creating a shear in those sphincters. So now the sphincters, the inability of the sphincters to either stay shut or to open up. But it's not as though it's tight because it's weak, because it's flaccid. More than likely, it's tight and weak because it's twisted. So it's long on one side, short on the other side. The short side will appear to be tight or having the right amount of tension, but the long side, because it's always being held, will appear to be weak simply because it never lets go. So if we can kind of understand that a bit better, that's where yoga is amazing, because we can place our intention in each pose that we go into according to the short, tight side of the body, and thinking about relaxing the long and tight side to then create balance and symmetry. And that is ultimately what we're looking for. We're not trying to erase the curve. That's never going to happen. But what we are trying to do is change the tension in the curves so that everything that drapes off of the curves has more balance to it.
Yeah, that makes sense. So I've always been in a kind of very simplified explanation, I guess. I've always been explained that the pelvic floor is like this diamond shape with the sitting bones and the pubic bone and the tailbone. And then we kind of imagine that this is kind of distorted somehow with scoliosis. Is that what you were?
That is exactly what's happening. So instead of our pelvis sitting straight, and we think about the bowl, that's what you were just explaining. So the bowl, let me see, draping from ischial tuberosity to ischial tuberosity, and we have levator ani coming front to back. If we think about this bowl with the sphincters in it, now instead of the pelvis sitting straight because of curvature in the spine, we have left hip higher, and then we can't look like this in life with the C curve. So the spine rotates, bringing the sacrum with it, and draws the right hip bone forward. So we can see how that changes the tension in the bowl. So now instead of my bowl being straight, I have with right hip forward, short and tight, which would then make the backside short and tight, and then long and tight in the other two ends of the square, because of the twist through the bowl.
So everywhere is tight, basically.
Everywhere tight. It's just that we can't change. We cannot physically change long and tight. We can't. But we can change the tension on short and tight, which then balances long and tight. And that's where we would integrate with all of our poses. Where is my intention on my stretch? Where is my intention on my strengthen? And then at the end, balancing that remedial exercise portion of it with breath. Because then once the tension is even side to side, we want to add the breath to integrate all the systems and the sump pump in the body from the respiratory diaphragm to the pelvic floor to create that ease of motion now that we've changed the tensegrity on the lines of pull in the bowl.
Amazing. I wanted to ask you about some of the symptoms maybe that you see. You were talking about you had a lot of teenage girls who had problems. So what would be kind of the typical symptoms with scoliosis?
So urge incontinence. So typically it's the inability to fully empty the bladder, right, which then is constantly sending that message to the brain. So we know that our bladder is shaped like a triangle, mm-hmm, and it sits behind our pubic bone, and it's attached by the ureters up to the kidneys. And at the front, it has ligaments that actually attach it onto the front part of the pubic bone. But if there's a shear or a lift in this bowl, then I'm going to have a bladder that, instead of having the integrity to sit upright, is going to be slightly tipped to one side or the other. And so when I sit down to pee, it's not going to fully evacuate, because when I sit down, that takes tension off the bladder. It can tip slightly back. Always a little bit of pee remains. So they usually end up with some form of stress incontinence, urge incontinence, the inability to read that message. And then over time, not being able to read the message clearly, then ends up with an overactive bladder. Period issues are another really big one. I mean, if we think about the fallopian tubes attaching hip to hip, and again, that twist, uterus sitting in the middle behind the bladder that's slightly tipped, changing the tension on those tubes will give us 1 month a very heavy flow with not a lot of pain. But then the opposite month, a lot of pain, very little flow because of the pinch in the tube. Mm-hmm. So just starting to think about not only the twist in the pelvic floor, but how that twists the sphincters and the tubes that are coming up out of the pelvic floor. And then how that connects to our false fascial bottom that actually the neck of the cervix is held in.
Yeah, amazing. So I've got Juliet here who's saying this really resonates. I'm with you, Juliet. The same for me as well. I've been working out how to use breath to follow the intention of the stretch. And then she said, I hadn't realized that the twisting of the spine causes tipping of the bladder.
Yeah. And you know, when I first started getting these girls, they were being sent to me because of bladder issues, which then leads to constipation issues. And we know that those are related to the other, but I think we just didn't realize fully how. And so the tension on the bladder actually holds the rectum up. And then the rectum then attaches by ligaments to the sacrum. Everything in that bowl is attached by a ligament. And so that tension causes the tensegrity to hold everything up. When we lose that tensegrity, then we get a distortion in the tubes. And I often explain to my patients with the vaginal tube, especially, that it's like the Chinese, I don't know if you have them there, but like the Chinese, it's like a puzzle. You put it on your finger and then you twist it and you can't get it off. Right. But up wide, up at the top, it opens very wide. And so the same distortion happens through the tubes that are in our body when not only are the sphincter is being twisted from the bottom, but we also have the pressure of an uneven respiratory diaphragm coming from the top. So starting to put all these pieces together that it's more than just the bowl. And that then to take it one step further is that our oral diaphragm, our respiratory diaphragm, and our pelvic floor work together to create the interabdominal pressure within our body, but also it integrates the movement of fluid through all our systems. So if I have a bowl that's not sitting straight, I'm going to have pooling in my ankles after I sit for a certain amount of time. If you have pooling in your ankles, you also have pooling in your pelvic floor. Mm. So it's in understanding how these systems are integrated, but in knowing that I can change this, right? So empowering to know that I don't need a pill. I don't necessarily need surgery. That I can take control of what's happening within my body by understanding the pressures on the systems. So also with my teenage patients would be migraines. And migraines are a big thing. And so I often explain it the same thing about the pressure, but also that our body is, because of the curves within it, always fighting to keep a certain amount of tension. So if the tension on the outside of our bodies changes, barometric pressure and stress, if the pressures change, then my body's already struggling to keep itself balanced and the pump's working. If I add a tipping point to it, now my body can't cope with that. I have no capacity. And so that's when we end up with migraines and those chronic headaches. So that was another big symptomology that I would get within these patients.
Yeah, it's so interesting. And I bet it resonates with so many people. Is there anything kind of that you find like later on in age starts to kind of become a problem, specifically with scoliosis, maybe after women have had a couple of children?
Exactly. So, yeah. So one thing I will say, during pregnancy itself is an amazing time to balance those curves of your spine, because your body's releasing relaxin, your collagen has extra mobility in it. I often say that we are so lucky as women, because men have scoliosis as well. Mm-hmm. But as women, every time we have a baby, we get a reset, which is pretty awesome.
That's amazing to see it like that. I love that.
Yeah. So although if left on its own, so that is one thing that everyone, when we get pregnant, has a diastasis. Our belly has to open. But that line, the linea alba, creates the tension that's actually helping to balance our spine. So the linea alba is that thick line that our abdominals attach to, but the transversus is actually like the skin of a drum, and it wraps around and it attaches into the transverse processes of your spine. And so when we lose tension on that line, we also lose tension for a matter of time in that lumbar spine. And so what ends up happening in that rotation is that the muscles around it grip to create the tension that the ligaments can't, because the ligaments are already tight in our spine, especially a scoliotic spine. But now with loss of tension through that front line, the muscles then grab hold. The good thing is that after baby's born and that tension has gone off the front and we are getting a chance to reset, close that line, we can change the tension that's on our lumbar spine. So it's exciting to know that if we don't just let, especially in a scoliotic patient, if we don't just let them kind of knit back together, which if we leave it, then it knits short. If we instead have intention of how we're going to put the body back together, it's a great opportunity for us to change tension on the lumbar spine, which then changes tension in the bowl. And so, I think it's exciting. I think I always tell my patients, because if they're like, oh, I've already had two children and I didn't do anything. And I'm like, are you planning on having more? If they are, then I'm like, yeah, it's not a big deal. Also, the same amount of time that you were pregnant and breastfeeding, on the other side of that, you get a chance for a reset. So if you breastfeed for the first 8 months of your child's life, you get a year and a half on the other side of that where the body is still soft. If you have subsequent children closely together, so say you have one child and then there's only a 2-year gap, you actually get double that time after that second child, because again, your body needs time to knit back together. Age is a factor. So it takes longer for that collagen to harden, so we get a better chance for a reset. Now, that's not to say I have patients that are in their 50s that their line, I'm 63. Okay. So I have patients in this age group as well that hormones again change with menopause. And so then again, we get a chance for a reset. So it's all, and quite honestly, anytime you decide to address the curves, you get a chance for a reset. It's all in intention and how we go about it. It's just that at each point, it would just be a little different how we would integrate our treatment for the patient. But movement, movement is helpful. Yes. So with that prolapsed uterus and bladder, I do really stress that patients need to learn a breath called hypopressives. And hypopressives will actually help to lift the organs within the pelvic bowl. Have you had a hysterectomy?
That's because that, Selena, isn't it?
Yeah, that changes the pressure on the neck of the cervix. So that would require something different as well. But I want to say that prolapse has two main things with it. Either
saying no.
Okay. So either it's a weakness that has allowed the organs to prolapse. So a weakness above can be loss of tensegrity above the line. So an open diastasis, an open abdominal separation can cause loss of tension on that line and then allow organs to fall out. Or organs can actually be pulled out. So if the pelvic floor is very tight and it has that shear, that tension can constantly be pulling those tubes down. So it can happen for either one of those two reasons. And our approach would be a little different based on, do we need to rehab the tension in those short and tight areas and look at adductors? Are my adductors too tight?
Yeah.
So, or
I'm crossing my legs while you're saying this.
Or do we need to create tension above to actually help lift the organs? So looking at that line of separation, making sure that the diaphragm is creating the right amount of pressure. Are we also suffering from heartburn? Starting to look at what are the pumps doing? So, but a hypopressive breath can do wonders. There are lots of great sites. I highly recommend Trista Zinn.
Okay.
She has a ton of free stuff on Instagram to at least get started. I always say, try the free stuff before you purchase anything to make sure that it fits for you, because every body is so different. Yeah. And everybody looks at the body differently. So it's what approach works for you.
What was the name again? What did you say? Trista?
Trista, T-R-I-S-T-A. Z-I-N-N, Zinn, hypopressives.
I-N-N. I'm going to put it in the chat as well for people to look up. Good. So while you were talking, I was thinking, I was like, oh, I wish I had known this woman 12 years ago when I was having my first child.
But you can start now. So I believe that, 12 years ago, there wasn't this information, I don't believe. I think that it has continued to evolve. And the reason, because I speak all over the world, and the reason I share it is because I don't believe we should all keep starting from the beginning. So if someone can grab what I'm saying and fit it into their model of what they're doing, there's no IP here. So take it and run with it, because that is the only way we are going to get ahead and find more effective ways to treat the body. We're only just understanding now how those pumps work together within the body, which is crazy to me. But yeah, the more information and knowledge we share, the better we'll become. And I always tell my patients, and just like all your members, share what's working and what isn't working so that we can all move forward.
We can all learn. No, yeah,
it was a bad result.
Yeah,
it's just a result.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now I know you have to go, Tara, but we are very lucky because you are coming into the membership to teach us a little bit more in a workshop. Do you want to give us a brief, just a couple of sentences of what you've got planned for us?
Yeah, I'm excited to come. I mentioned to you we're going to be doing a couple exercises, one with a ball, one with a balloon, one with a scarf, so that I can send you off with tools to help you move forward in your own journey. And I hope too, some not only practices to integrate, but some knowledge so that you have a better understanding of what's happening within yourself. Even we'll talk about hormones and menopause, pregnancy and the hormones therein, what we could be doing pre-pregnancy, postpartum. Everyone's postpartum if you've had children. Doesn't matter how long ago that was. And then some assessment tools, because I find that some therapists just aren't looking at certain things. So if you can gain a knowledge and approach, then you can actually share that with your therapist. And good therapists, even like myself, will say, we're all learning. So even when our patients bring us information that we can then share with other patients, I always say it's like this. I have a patient that comes in and I say to them, we're going to try this and see how it works. And they come back and they give me some feedback. And I'm like, wow, that was really interesting. And then the next person that I treat that's similar, I'll say to them, you might have some of these symptoms.
Yeah,
I didn't know about them before that patient. And then that patient comes back and gives me some feedback. And then I share that with the next patient. So yeah, that's how we learn. Even as a yoga therapist, when people come back to me and say, that pose actually did not help me at all, gave me more pain, I store that and I don't give that to the next person with that same curve, because I'm like, why would I start there?
Yeah.
So yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here.
So we've got lots of comments coming in. Obviously, we've kind of running out of time. But Linda is asking, what is your name and do you have programs? So I just put your name up here as well, Tara Nicole.
Yeah, I do
have where a can people find you?
Yeah, I do have a scoliosis program and a pelvic floor program. Also, I do rehab. I do pediatrics and obstetrics, but I also do rehab for women with breast cancer, surgery repairs with flaps. So if there's any questions that you guys have, if you put them on to Christine, I'll make sure that I answer them so that she can put them or link them or put them in the bottom of the comments for this interview. And you can find me at Tara_therapeutics. It's on the screen right there. And ask me, come on there and say, hey, I just heard your talk, and I'll send you the link to OsteoU. I have a bunch of free stuff on there too. But Christine has great programs. So I would start there.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. So if you are interested in what Tara is doing, and especially scoliosis related, she's going to come into the Shine membership in a couple of weeks' time. I think it is now.
July 18th. Yeah.
July 18th. Yes, exactly 2 weeks' time. So you can just sign up for the workshop, or you can join the membership and then get free access to the workshop. So two options. And yeah, we'll put all the details into the description as well. Good. Amazing. That was great. I mean, I could, you know, I've got so many questions for you, Lee. We can go on forever, but I know you've got to go. So thank you so much for this. And I think there's lots of thank yous coming in. I think everybody really, really appreciated that, and lots of things that we can resonate with for sure.
Awesome. You know what too, Christine, if people have questions that they'd like directly answered in the workshop, if they can send them to you or post them on here, I'll make sure that those parts I truly address so that it is more streamlined for the people that are actually on the call.
Yes, absolutely. Awesome. Yes, we'll do that as well and ask people to submit their questions.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
Have a great day.
I hope you enjoyed this episode, and if you did, I would be super grateful if you could leave me a 5-star rating and review, which will help me to create lots more amazing content. If you have any questions or suggestions, reach out to me on Instagram at yogaberry.scoliosis or visit my website at www.yogaberry.net.